This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we bring our series called How to Get Through What You're Going Through to a close. In these teachings, Rick looks at how God can take every situation in life, including the absolute worst circumstances, and turn them around for your good and His glory. In just a few minutes, we're going to tell you how you can get the brand new set of 52 Bible verse memorization cards for this series called How to Get Through What You're Going Through. You can find out more by going to PastorRick.com while you listen to today's message. And if you want, you can connect with us by texting the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Here's Pastor Rick with the final part of a message called Never Waste Your Pain.
The secret of every winner is one word: resilience. The only difference between a winner and a loser is resiliency. Losers stay down. I'll never let another man hurt me. I will never let another employer hurt me. I will never let another whatever hurt me. You build a prison, a self-imposed prison that your heart stays in, and you become a little clod of a person. That's what a loser does. Winners have resilience. Winners have the same problems losers do. They just have resilience. And I think more than any other quality, I want you to develop resilience in your life, because life is tough. But if you have resilience, you learn from your losses, you profit from your pain, you gain from the pain, you advance from your adversity. All of these things happen when you have resilience. Now, how do I get resilience? Well, you need to do what Paul did. I want to read you three passages. They aren't on your outline. They're going to be on the screen. Three passages of Paul that show that he was probably the most resilient person who ever lived. Now, the first one is 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 28. Let me read it to you. It says this. This is Paul's personal testimony. I've been put in jail more often, been whipped times without number, and faced death again and again. Five different times I was whipped with 39 lashes. Now think about that. Five times 39, that's how many scars he had on his back. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea. I faced dangers from flooded rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from angry crowds, mobs. I faced dangers in the cities and in deserts and even on stormy seas. I faced dangers from people who claim to be Christians but aren't. I've lived with weariness and pain and sleepless nights. This is the guy who wrote most of the Bible you read, the New Testament. Weariness and pain and sleepless nights. I've often been hungry and thirsty. I've often gone without food. I've often shivered with cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. He said often. And besides all this, I've had the daily burdens of all the churches I've started. And you think you had a bad day. All right? Now, if anybody has a right to complain, it's Paul. That laundry list of the terrible things that have happened in his life while he's trying to serve God, by the way. Now, here's another verse. This is not on your outline. 2 Corinthians 4, 8 to 10 says this. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed and broken. We are perplexed, but we don't give up and quit. We are hunted down, but God never abandons us. And we get knocked down, but we get up again and keep going. I'm knocked down, but I'm not knocked out, he's saying. Through suffering, these bodies of ours are constantly share in the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. Now, that's what I call a resilient person. And he says, no matter what happens, I'm the Energizer Bunny. I keep on ticking. What was the secret of Paul's resistance? His resilience, his determination, his ability to bounce back no matter how bad things happen in his life. The answer is right here. It's perspective. It's the way he looked at things. He looked at life not from a worldly view, but from a godly view. Not from a contemporary view, but from an eternal perspective. He looked at his life in light of eternity, realizing that this life is just preparation for the next, and no matter how hard the problem is, it's just temporary. But the rewards in eternity are going to go on forever. You see, you can handle unbelievable pain if you see a purpose in it. Now, if you don't see a purpose in it, you're not going to be resilient. But if you see a purpose in it, and you see God's hand, God is using this to draw me closer to Him. God is using this to teach me to love other people. God is using this to make me more like Christ. Then you get resilience. 2 Corinthians 4:16 to 18. This is on your outline. For this reason, he says, in other words, because I have this eternal perspective, for this reason, we never become discouraged. He says, even though our physical being is gradually decaying, yet our spiritual being is being renewed day after day. And these temporary troubles that we suffer, that laundry list I just read, these temporary troubles we suffer will bring us a tremendous and eternal glory, much greater than the trouble. For we fix our attention not on things that are seen, but on things that are unseen. What can be seen lasts only for a short time, but what cannot be seen lasts forever. He says, I don't look at my problems. I don't look at my pain. I don't look at my difficulty. I look beyond that to the reward that's going to be in heaven. Jesus did the same thing. The Bible says Jesus endured the cross because he was looking forward to his reward. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, Moses endured suffering because he had his eyes on the prize, on the reward in heaven.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. Now, if you'd like to connect with Pastor Rick online, just go to PastorRick.com and click on his social media links. You can also sign up for his free daily email devotional. That's PastorRick.com.
One of the things that you ask us about the most here on Daily Hope are the Bible memorization cards. We get a lot of requests for them. So, Pastor Rick has added another deck of 52 scripture cards based on the Bible verses to go along with our current series. These graphically designed cards will encourage you to spend time learning the Word of God, something you hear Pastor Rick talking about all the time. We'll send you the How to Get Through What You're Going Through Bible memorization cards to say thanks for your financial support of this ministry. Get yours right now by calling 800-600-5004. That's 800-600-5004. Or go to PastorRick.com. That's Pastor Rick with two R's in the middle, .com. Today is the last day to get this great resource, so don't wait.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Once again, here's Rick.
All right, let me quickly give you the last two purposes of pain in your life. God says, if I choose, then I can choose to let pain draw me closer to God. And I have, and I want you to do it too. And God says, I can choose to let pain draw me closer to other people. I can let it deepen my love, get my eyes off myself and onto others. And I have. And I hope you will too. God says, if I want to, I can choose to become more like Jesus Christ and grow in character. Jesus learned obedience through suffering. Jesus was made perfect through suffering. Number four, I can use my pain to help others. This is the purpose of service. This is called redemptive suffering. It's suffering for the benefit of others. It is the highest and best use of your pain. Now, follow me on this. If you're going to be in pain, because we live in a broken world and everybody has pain, we all have pain, nobody lives a pain-free life, If you're going to have pain and you know you're going to have it, why not at least get some credit for it? And you don't get credit for your pain by mumbling, moaning, complaining. And you don't get credit for your pain by feeling sorry for yourself and having a pity party. You get credit for your pain by using it to help other people who are in the same kind of pain. God says that is the highest and best use, and you will be richly rewarded for it. And rather than focusing on my hurt, my feeling, how I feel bad, I refocus it and I refocus on the pain of others. We began this series with 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and I'm going to end it with it too. It's there in your outline, 2 Corinthians 1, 4 to 6. God comforts us in our troubles so we can comfort others. Then when others are troubled, we're able to give them the same comfort that God has given us. And you can be sure that the more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with his comfort through Christ. So, when we're weighed down with troubles, it's for your benefit. It's for your salvation. For when God comforts us, it's so that we in turn can be an encouragement to you. Then you can patiently endure the same things that we suffer. Now, this is Common Sense 101. Who can better help parents of a special needs child than somebody who's been a parent of a special needs child? Who can better help somebody struggling with a chronic illness than somebody who is struggling with a chronic illness? They understand. Who could better help someone who's been molested or raped than someone who's been molested or raped? Don't waste your hurt. Let God heal it, and let God recycle it, and let God use it, and let God utilize it, and let God bless other people. Don't waste any pain in your life. I can use it to help others. And finally, number 5, I can use my pain to witness to the world. Now, when you start talking about witnessing or evangelism, everybody all gets uptight. The one thing about believers and non-believers that they have in common is they both are nervous about evangelism. Evangelism comes from the Greek word evangel, which means good news. All it is sharing good news. And the highest form of witnessing is witnessing in your pain. I can use my pain to witness to the world. You see, God knows the exact opposite is true of what we think is true. We think that the world is impressed by our prosperity and how we handle prosperity. So we want to show off our prosperity. That doesn't impress the world. The world is impressed with how we handle adversity. Not prosperity, adversity. We think that our successes give us credibility, when God says, no, your suffering gives you credibility. We think that fame earns respect, when God says, no, what actually earns respect is faithfulness in tough times. You see, I could stand up here right now and I could tell you my banner list of achievements in my lifetime. And I got this award and 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 this award, blah, 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 wah, 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 wah. And you'd be going, well, goody for you. Ain't that grand. I'm not you. It would not draw us closer together. It would not make you more like Christ. It wouldn't serve you. And you would not even be impressed. But when I stand up here and I tell you about the hell that I've gone through after my son took his life, after struggling with mental illness for 27 years, that touches you. And you're listening. And it's a witness. What I'm saying is your weaknesses will actually gain a hearing more than your strengths. That's the exact opposite of what everything in the world and culture has taught you. You think, I have to be successful to be heard as a Christian. I have to be rich to be heard as a Christian. I have to be famous to be heard as a Christian. No, you have to be authentic in pain. And when you're authentic in pain, you will have more people listening to you than you could possibly imagine. Because when I started sharing about my pain, they came out of the woodwork. And you would not believe how many lives I've been able to just talk with that I would have never had any connection to in any other way. Because pain humanizes, pain sympathizes, pain causes you to have a credibility with people. So I use my pain to witness to the world. Now, again, I keep going back to Paul because he was the pro at this. He had the most pain, and God used him to bless the world by writing half of the New Testament. And Paul says this in Philippians 1:12. I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me, now, what is everything that's happened to me? All those shipwrecks, the beatings, the going without food, the hunger, all of the hit with rods, the put in prison, all that stuff that I read you, he says, I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me has helped to spread the good news. That's pretty amazing. God wants you to use your pain as a model for your message, as a platform for your life message. God says the thing that you regret the most, you hate the most, you despise the most, the thing that you wish had never happened in your life, those most painful things, he says, I want to use that in your life to touch other people in pain. But you got to be honest to yourself, honest to God, and then honest with others. And you've got to be vulnerable. Paul says, I use my pain as a model for my message. 2 Corinthians 6:4. In everything we do, Paul says, we try to show that we're true servants of God. He says, I'm using my message, my model of the message through the pain. In everything we do, we try to show that we're true servants of God. How? We patiently endure suffering and hardship and trouble of every kind. Your deepest life message will come out of your deepest pain. And this is real witnessing. It's Christ-like witnessing. It's what Jesus did for you. What is the greatest witness of God's love? The greatest witness of God's love is not what Jesus said. It's not what Jesus did. The greatest witness of God's love is not the Sermon on the Mount. It's not the sermons he preached. The greatest witness of God's love is not the miracles that Jesus did. The greatest witness of God's love is the suffering of Jesus. This is how much I love you. I love you so much, it hurts. So the bottom line is this. You're going to have pain in your life. I wish I could stop it. I can't. You're going to have pain in your life. Now, you can either use it for good or you can waste it. Please don't waste it. What we're talking about here is purpose-driven pain. Pain that causes me to worship, to the fellowship, to disciple, to minister, to evangelize. Pain that causes me to know Christ, to love Christ, to grow in Christ, to share Christ, to serve Christ. Pain that has a purpose. You're going to have pain. You may as well use it for good. Now notice on your outline, I left a line there. It says, helping others. Write down the four most painful experiences in your life. Then go back over this list and look at how God could use that instance in each of these five areas. And then the second thing I want you to write down is the names of people who are going through those similar things right now. And you just discovered your ministry. And you just discovered your life message. And you just discovered purpose-driven pain. In recovery, we call this the 12th step, that you don't get well till you're helping somebody else. When are you recovered from anything? You're not recovered until you're helping somebody else. And if you never help somebody else, you will never recover from your pain. It's the only way you get out of it. God has wired it that when I give it away, it is when Job prayed for his friends that God healed Job. So do this on a personal level, and then do it on a family level, if you have a family. And say, how could we help other families in the same situation that we're in? Let's bow our heads. Father, we've gone through this series and we've treaded some deep waters. We've looked at shock and sorrow and struggle and surrender and sanctification and now service. And we see how that you don't want to just waste the pain that happens in our lives. You want us to use it. Would you pray this prayer in your heart? Say, dear Jesus Christ, use the pain in my life to draw me closer to you. Say, Jesus Christ, use the pain in my life to teach me how to really love and draw closer to others. Say, Jesus Christ, use the pain in my life to make me more like you. And Jesus, use the pain in my life to serve others, to serve God by serving others. And Jesus Christ, use the pain in my life as a witness to the world that you can be counted on, that you are a good God, that you give us strength even in the most difficult of times. If you've never opened your life to Jesus Christ, say, Jesus Christ, come into my life right now and begin the healing process. I want to follow you. I want to learn to love you and trust you. And I invite you into my life in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hi, everybody. This is Rick, and I hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. You know, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, or you just recommitted your life to Jesus again today, would you let me know about it? There's something real about sharing your commitment. So write me, Rick, at PastorRick.com and say, Rick, I prayed that prayer of commitment. I gave my life to Christ. And I'll send you some material that'll help you on your journey with Jesus. And I'll also pray for you. God bless you.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Hey, if you missed any part of this message, or if you'd like to find out more about Pastor Rick Warren and this ministry, just visit PastorRick.com, where you can listen online anytime. Be sure to sign up for Rick's free daily email devotional while you're there. That's PastorRick.com. One of the things that you ask us most about here at Daily Hope are the Bible memorization cards. We get a lot of requests for them. So Pastor Rick has added another deck of 52 scripture cards based on Bible verses to go along with our current series. Here's Rick to tell you more.
Friends, one of the most powerful ways you can transform your spiritual life is to memorize scripture. God tells us in Proverbs 7, verse 2, "Guard my words as your most precious possession. Write them down and also keep them deep within your heart." Now, you may not think you've got a good memory, but the truth is, we all remember what's important to us. For instance, you remember phone numbers and dates that you care about. I've heard people say they can't memorize anything, yet they can quote a song lyrics from their childhood, or they can rattle off a statistic for their favorite baseball player. You see, memory is a skill that you can learn. And it's also a muscle that you can strengthen. In fact, study after study has shown that memorizing scripture will cause your brain to have a stronger memory in other areas too. So when you memorize scripture, you're actually benefiting a lot of other areas in your life. Now, here's how I want to help you memorize God's word. We've put together a new packet, a new set of cards with verses from the Bible for you to memorize. And these are good, easily memorizable verses. And you can put these cards around your house, or you can put them on your refrigerator, or, you know, tape them to the mirror where you brush your teeth, or you can put them by your bed, or in your car, in the visor. It doesn't really matter, but they're very beautiful, and they will keep these Bible verses, God's Word, before you every day, helping you to memorize the Word of God. I hope you'll take advantage of this new resource.
We'll send you the How to Get Through What You're Going Through Bible memorization cards to say thanks for your financial support to this ministry. Get yours right now by calling 800-600-5004. That's 800-600-5004, or just go to PastorRick.com. That's Pastor Rick with two R's in the middle, .com. Today is the last day to get this great resource, so don't wait. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.